Welcome to Ask About Fly Fishing Internet Radio, your source for learning more about fly fishing in cold water, warm water, and salt water. Hello, I'm Roger Maves, your host for tonight's show. On this broadcast, we'll be featuring Fanny Krieger, and she'll be answering your most important questions on tomorrow's fly fishers. This show will be 90 minutes in length, and we're broadcasting live over the Internet. If you'd like to ask Fanny a question, just go to our homepage at askaboutflyfishing.com and use the Q&A text box to send us your question. We'll receive your question immediately, and we'll try to answer as many of them as possible on the show tonight. And while you're there, make sure you sign up to receive our announcements so you don't miss out on any of our future broadcasts. Just fill in your name and email address on the form on our homepage, and we'll keep you informed. This broadcast is being recorded and will be available for playback on our website within 24 hours after the show ends. So if you have to leave early, you can return to our website at your convenience and listen to the broadcast at any time. The content of this broadcast is copyrighted and the property of the Knowledge Group, Inc., doing business as Ask About Fly Fishing. Recordings or transcriptions of this program cannot be distributed or sold in any form. When we return, we'll be talking with Fanny Krieger about tomorrow's fly fishers. Our approach is simple, education. Fly Fusion is unique when it comes to fly fishing magazines. It is one of only a few magazines in North America that focuses on instructions and education. In Fly Fusion, we've covered subjects like shortline nymphing, tactics for tough days, stillwater fly patterns, dry fly fishing for fussy trout, and a host of other interesting and educational topics. Visit our website today at www.flyfusionmag.com. That's www.flyfusionmag.com. And start your subscription to Fly Fusion today so that you can learn all you need to know about fly fishing. Before we introduce Fanny, we'd like to let you know about the great gifts we have to give away tonight. On our show tonight, we're going to be giving away a one-year membership to the Federation of Fly Fishers and a one-year subscription to Fly Fusion magazine. So you have two chances to win tonight in our drawing. Now, if you haven't registered yet for the drawing, you can do so now. Just go to our homepage at askaboutflyfishing.com and look for the link under Fanny's section that says click here to register for our drawing. Just click on that link, fill out the form, and we'll announce the winners at the end of the show. We'll also be giving away, thanks to Fanny, her latest DVD, which is called Tomorrow's Fly Fishers, a great DVD about teaching young people how to fly fish. And that's the topic of our show tonight, so a nice prize to give away in our drawing. Now, here's how you can win. You must be the first person to answer the question we ask at the end of the show. The question will be about something we talked about during the show, and you must submit your answer along with your name and location in the text box on our homepage. So listen closely and use your best typing skills, and maybe you'll win that DVD, Tomorrow's Fly Fishers. Well, tonight, our guest is Fanny Krieger. Fanny was a survivor of Nazi occupation and left her native homeland, France, and came to America when she was 17. Her friends predicted she would marry the king of chewing gum. Instead, she met Mel Krieger, whose ultimate ambition was to have a business with a sign that read Gone Fishing. So at that point, Fanny's life changed. Hold on. Sorry, folks. In 1983, Fanny and her friend Susan Williams started the Golden West Women Fly Fishers and now has over 150 members and is very involved in conservation, education, social, and fishing programs. In 1994, Fanny was inducted in the Northern California Council Federation of Fly Fishers Hall of Fame for her contributions in the world of fly fishing. In 1996, Fanny conceived the concept of gathering of many other fly fishing ladies and fly fishing clubs into a festival. And after much hard work and many meetings in San Francisco, on December 6th through 8th of 1996, the International Festival of Women's Fly Fishers was born. Writers, artists, guides, instructors, shop owners, lodge owners, and fishing enthusiasts participated. Response was ardent. In 1997, the second International Festival of Women's Fly Fishers was held in Baja, California, where Fanny promoted the idea of a new organization, International Women Fly Fishers. Fanny now runs and coordinates her fishing-related enterprises, travel adventures for fly fishers, and library of instructional videos and books. In 2010, Fanny produced a new DVD, Instructional Fly Fishing for Young People, Tomorrow's Fly Fishers, winning the 2011 Kudo Award from Fly Rod and Reel magazine. Well, Fanny, welcome to Ask About Fly Fishing Internet Radio.
Thank you. I'm very pleased to be here.
Well, good to have you. And We've got a lot of material to cover tonight, and something that's always dear to our hearts, young people. And we lately has been a big issue or topic of conversation, I should say, in the fly fishing industry, is getting more people involved in the sport. So tell me why you recently produced this DVD, Tomorrow's Fly Fishers, and have a great interest in young people in fly fishing. What got you going on this whole project and interest?
Okay, let me give you a little background. You did a very good job of telling my life story. But I became a fly fisher by virtue of being married to a fly fisher fanatic. And I devoted a lot of my energy to learning to fly fish. Then when I felt comfortable enough, I started to look around and saw that not very many women were in the stream practicing the art or science of fly fishing. But it became a question of where were the women and why were there not more women fly fishing? And that's when I started the Golden West Women Fly Fisher. And to my surprise and to the surprise of everybody, there were quite a few women who did go fly fishing, some by virtue of being married to a fly fisherman, but others totally on their own. And then that went on, and then we had the International Women Fly Fisher, and all of that brought a lot more women to fly fishing. And then I started to think, who is our next venue? Children. We have to bring in the kids, the young people, to fly fishing. And was there an interest? I tried to get Mel to do a DVD for young people, but he was so involved in so many other things. And it was my son who encouraged me. He said, you know, you do it. And so I hired Stephen Haggard, who had done several of Mel's DVDs very successfully, very well. I hired him as an editor, and I hired the best cameraman that I knew of, Todd Moen. And I did not want to be the main person on that DVD, because there are so many other people who are so qualified to teach different parts of fly fishing. So I asked Tim Ray Jeff of Echo Rods to teach a little bit of the basic casting and a little more advanced casting in a bonus chapter. I asked Rachel Andrus, who is a wonderful caster and who did the entomology, and Lorianne Murphy, who is a wonderful fisher, and she did the part of how to read the water and where the fish are and how to catch them. And all of us put together, the motto of the DVD was to keep it simple and to keep it fun. I did not want anything that would turn the kids away from learning, and I wanted to keep them interested through some fun sequence. And I think we achieved that.
Great. Yeah, I think you did too. Now, when you did this, you actually used your grandchildren, and purposely, and well, inconveniently, they were of all different ages. And you had them spread out from a little on up to teens. And but we did get a question from Steve in Middle Tennessee. He was asking. He says he has a 3-year-old daughter and an 18-month-old son, which are both probably pretty little. But he says he fishes for bream and takes them whenever possible, just to get interested. But would like to know, you know, when do you put a rod into a hand of a child? At what age do you think they're ready to deal with
that? I think it's a very good question. A lot of people have different feelings about it. my thought was, and I purposely used my grandchildren because the age range from 7 to 16. And I wanted to show that the 7-year-old who might be very interested in touching the fish, catching it and releasing it, and more than that, interested in the bugs in on the ground and in the water, turning out the rocks, to the, he couldn't care less about casting, to the older one who was 16, who wanted to know, who wanted to learn every aspect of it. And my thought was that there are perhaps some 7-year-old who would have the concentration and the attention to learn every aspect of it. But more likely, they are not quite ready, even at 7. I repeat, some might, but most of the kids don't really get into it until about 9 or 10. And I think it's wonderful that a father takes his 2 young children to expose them to, first of all, the outdoors, of course, and then the fishing and the catching fish, but as spectators more than as actual actors. I think they are real too young.
Right, right. So, but as you said, one way to get them interested is maybe in, you know, like you said, turning over rocks. Exploring, as all children do in the outdoors. You know.
And that section in the DVD, which you have seen, the kids were totally engaged into lifting the rocks, looking for the bugs, and wanting to know which one they were and what they were. And that sort of engagement then leads to the next step and the next step and the next step. But this is one good way to start.
Right, right. Now, so, you know, and I suppose this differs at different ages, but what do you think the best way to develop interest in fly fishing is?
Well, I might repeat myself there, but I think it's exposure. I think if you have a very good relationship with your son, you're a father or a mother, have a very good relationship with your son and your daughter, and you yourself are excited about going fishing, and you take the kids, as soon as they start showing a little bit of interest, then you might take them with you and you encourage them. You don't start by telling them what they're doing wrong. All you want to do is give them a rod, set them up with the line and the fly, and let them do it. And whatever they're doing, they need a lot of encouragement. And the best way is to do it on a one-to-one basis. I think that's better than, maybe in a fish camp, which are coming up everywhere now, you might have enough instructors with enough kids that are there so that there is a somewhat of a one-to-one base relationship. But the biggest thing is encouragement. Take them out, make it fun, camping trip, make it fun, and let them play with it before you even give them any instructions.
Mm-hmm. Now, Scott Hood in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, he says, do you have any suggestions for city kids, you know, 13 to 15-year-olds, the ones that think milk comes from the grocery store?
Right.
If you consider these young adults to be children. But there's probably a different motivation for them, or, you know, I don't know, were your grandkids, would you consider them city kids? Or?
Well, yes and no. They're from Bozeman. Well, two of them are from Bozeman and two are from Oakland. So obviously Oakland is the big city. Bozeman is pretty good sized city, but it's not the big city.
Right.
And the one in Bozeman, I'm much more inclined towards the outdoors. And their father is a fly fisherman who goes out fairly often. The mother is not. And the two kids were, well, the truth of the matter is when I asked the four kids, will you help me produce a DVD on fly fishing, there was the sort of reaction that was, do we have to? And then we went through the different stages, the different steps, and little by little, they became very engaged. They really enjoyed it. They really liked it. And when you watch the DVD, you see how ignorant they were about everything from the very beginning. And at the end, how well they were doing catching fish and how much they enjoyed. So that in a very slow process, and again on a one-to-one basis, and keeping it simple, keeping it fun, did turn these kids that were both from the big city and the smaller city into fly fishers. The oldest one, my grandson, Cale, ended up working in Alaska. And he went fishing a few times with one of the guides. He was working at a lodge. And at some point, he wrote me an email saying, I am so grateful to you for having taught me how to fly fish because I love it. I'm having such a good time catching fish and understanding what I'm doing.
Right.
So that was the best testament I could possibly have gotten.
That's for sure. That's for sure. Well, Brad in New Jersey says he's the vice president of the Atlantic Saltwater Fly Rodders out in New Jersey. And he says he's been teaching members of the club to tie saltwater flies for over 10 years. But and this might go back to, you know, to your experience with developing clubs and so forth. But he says, how do you get more members involved in spending time and then sharing what they do? Because I suppose the clubs are a good way to maybe kind of reach out to the children as well. But you have to get the adults interested first, don't you?
Right. It really comes from the adults. And I think back to what I was saying before, if one adult will mentor one kid, teaching him how to tie a fly, if that's the interest, or taking him to a casting pool or to a river and showing him how to catch a fish or what it is that fly fishing is all about. Because it's more than catching a fish. Fly fishing is being in a beautiful place. And you've got, sometimes you do have to point that out. Being in a beautiful place, seeing all kinds of animals, and feeling the water through your legs if you're wading. All of that is the experience of fly fishing. But it takes a dedicated person to take a child or several children and show them the appreciation of every aspect of fly fishing, which is not always catching a fish. And
right.
That's the thing that's a very hard concept to pass on to a kid, that sometimes you can have a good time even if you don't catch a fish.
Right, right.
I mean, it's even a hard concept for adults.
Yeah, and it's, I think we can all, and when you are teaching, you have to set aside the desire to go fishing yourself or
right.
Dive flies yourself or or so forth. And I think probably almost everybody that fly fishes can probably go back to one person in their life that kind of steered them in the right direction. I remember there was my father taught me how to, you know, spin fish and do that, but I remember in eighth grade there was a man that lived about three doors down from me, and he taught me and a friend how to tie flies. My father didn't know how to tie flies, and I still remember that. That was like a turning point in fly fishing to me.
Yeah.
Because he sat with us night after night, showed us how to do it, and we take the flies out and we catch fish with them up at the local lake, and you know, got the full experience. But I still think of him every time I tie flies because he's the one that got me started.
Yeah. Well, I would add to this that tying flies is a creative process, and it's like an artist who wants to paint. Not everybody is an artist, and not everybody is going to want to tie flies. But if you're introduced to it by someone who hasn't a lot of enthusiasm and knows how to encourage you, no matter what you're doing on that device, then it will inspire you or the kids to get into it. I was at the conclave of the Northern California Council of the Federation two weekends ago, and there was a man at the table who was showing a little boy how to tie a fly. It was a very simple fly. And I stood there for a while. The kid was so engrossed, and when he stopped, I asked him how old he was, and he said 9 years old. And I happened to have one of my DVD in my hand, and I said, well, I have a present for you. And he looked at me and he said, how did you know it was my birthday? And I didn't know, of course.
Yeah.
And I gave him the DVD, and he was so thrilled. But there it was, a little kid so engaged into tying this fly with the one man that was just giving him some gentle instruction. I just loved watching that.
Well, that's great. That's great. Well, Fanny, we need to take a quick break, but when we come back, we'll dig into this a little bit more and talk about some equipment that the kids might be using. So stick with me, and we'll be right back.
Okay.
Royal Gorge Anglers is a full-service fly shop on the Arkansas River in Canyon City, Colorado. They provide both walk, wade, and float fishing guide service on Arkansas, South Platte, and several private high country ranches. They specialize in fly fishing education and work to assure that everyone taking a trip leaves being a better fly fisher. For the best service and the most fun in the Southern Rockies, visit the folks at Royal Gorge Anglers, the gateway to Southern Colorado. Located conveniently on U.S. 50, only 45 minutes from Colorado Springs. For more information, visit their website at www.royalgorgeanglers.com. That's www.royalgorgeanglers.com. Or call them at 888-994-6743. That's 888-994-6743. You're listening to Ask About Fly Fishing Internet Radio. We're talking with Fanny Krieger about tomorrow's fly fishers. If you'd like to ask Fanny a question, just go to our homepage at askaboutflyfishing.com and use the Q&A text box to send us your question. We'll receive your question immediately, and we'll try to answer as many of them as possible on the show tonight. Okay, Fanny, at this point in the show, I always ask my guests what's going on in their fly fishing world. So I know you've been just finished that DVD this past year. It probably took a lot of your time, I'm sure, but what's happening with you, and what's going on in your fly fishing world?
Well, I wear many hats, I must say. I'm very involved with the two organizations of women fly fishers. Besides having a monthly meeting, the Golden West has outings, and we are very involved in conservation issues. The International Women Fly Fisher meets with a festival once a year. I'm usually very involved in that. Plus, we have regional meetings. We call them rendezvous. And we have them a little bit all over the United States. And we have them even in, we had one in Scotland, and we have one in Austria. We've had a couple in Sweden. So we are very diversified and very busy with that. But in addition, I also organize one or two trips a year with groups of friends. This past February, I was in Argentina, and I'm going back in November, the end of November. Fish for 1 week in Tierra del Fuego and 1 week in northern Patagonia. I also had a group of 10 women fishing with me on the Bighorn this September, and it was absolutely wonderful. The Bighorn is a very, very prolific river. We all had a great time. I was a little worried. 10 women is a lot of people, but we got along beautifully and had no problem at all. So I do organize these trips, and I love going places. And then I also sell all of Mel's DVD, Mel Krieger, The Essence of Flycasting, The Essence of Flycasting 2, Advanced, Beginnings, and Faults and Fixes. They've been on the market for a number of years and still doing well. So that keeps me very busy.
Good, good.
Plus now, I'm a grandmother and a mother. So all of that is makes for a full life, and I love it.
Well, tell the folks where they can find out about your DVDs, Mel's DVDs. And
yes. Our website is essenceofflyfishing.com, but you can go fannykrieger.com or melkrieger.com, all in one word.
Okay, and all of those three go to the same spot.
Yes, the same website.
Same website, Essence of Fly Fishing. Okay, great. Well, I'm sure folks will want to go there and take a look at all your DVDs.
Yes, and buy them all.
There you go.
I've got a good supply.
Okay, good. Okay, well, let's get back to talking about our young people. And we did get a question from Dan in East Peoria, Illinois. He wanted to know about what length weight of fly rod and fly line do you recommend to start out a teenager with? Or, for that matter, you might talk about the younger people, too.
Yeah. Well, in the DVD, for the DVD, I used the rod called the Echo Gecko. Tim Ray Jeff had those rods made, which I think he sells now regularly. It was a 7'9" for a 4 or 5 weight line. That was a perfect weight and length for the kids that I had. And I would recommend any 8 feet, 8 and a half for a 4 or 5 weight rod line would work just fine for a youngster. One thing you want to make sure is that the handle is not too thick, too big, because they still have smaller hands. And I think that the rod manufacturers are very aware of that. As a matter of fact, for a while they were making rods specifically for women with a thinner handle.
Yeah, I was going to say the same rule would apply to women. Because,
yeah. Mm-hmm. So, you know, any company, I mean, that makes an 8 feet, 8 and a half, that rod would be fine. I mean, what I was going to say before is that if you're trying to involve a child of yours into fly fishing, a teenager or a young person into fly fishing, if you are not sure that you have all the right knowledge about rods and equipment and flies and casting things, you can always refer to the FFF Federation of Fly Fishermen. They have a certification program, and there will be somebody in amongst those certified instructors that would be able to give you the information you need or the help if they are local to where you live.
Yeah, that's a great resource, the Federation, for all kinds of instructional help. Yeah, definitely. Now, we did get a question in from Ray Ramirez in Texas, and you kind of answered this before, but he's being very specific here about how do you think a child needs to be taught fly cast to where, I guess, you know, they can hold and manage a rod with, you know, their strength and so forth. Is that about the same age you were talking about before, 9, 10?
I think so. I think 9 years old is good stuff. But again, it depends. Some kids are really into learning to fly fish at maybe 7 or 8, and others may not be ready until 10, 11, 12. Steve Ray just started at 9, and he had very strong hand power, and he could handle it. Plus, he had an incredible concentration. He was definitely into learning to fly cast, and Mel was very instrumental in teaching him. But he was 9 years old when he started.
Right.
And
right.
I think that's the fair average.
And I suppose what we want to consider too in all this is that you don't push him too hard.
Exactly.
Yeah, and the biggest, burn him out.
Yeah, the biggest thing is to let them come into it and give a lot of encouragement.
And if they're too tired that day to cast anymore and want to go
put the
out,
rod
out
down,
the woods, yeah, then that's...
Put the rod down and go chase butterflies.
Right, exactly.
Whatever.
Yeah. Now, Jeff in B.C., British Columbia, asked about whether you think two-handed rods are easier than a single-handed rod for kids to learn on.
That would be a question from British Columbia.
Those steel headers up there.
That's right. That's right. Personally, even though I can spay cast, I would not fish with a spay rod. Maybe because I'm so used to my single-handed rod. Maybe because I'm not sure that I can visualize how easy it would be to bring the fish in and catch it and release it. I don't know what answer I can give you about the two-handed rod for kids. I would think that you would want to start them with a single-handed rod. And if they're very comfortable and you see that they know what they're doing, and they are looking for a new experience, then you might want to let them try the two-handed rod. But I would be hesitant myself.
Okay, okay. Stan Wright in Honolulu, Hawaii, wrote in and asked about tenkara rods and wanted to know what you thought about those as a teacher.
Well, that's another thing that's becoming very popular. And... I'm not sure it's not just a fad. It's a very interesting concept. Again, maybe I'm old-fashioned, but it's hard for me to imagine casting and fishing with a rod without a reel. So I'm not a real good person to give an answer on that one.
Okay, okay. But, yeah, maybe it's a possibility for folks. Then.
It may be.
Yeah.
If somebody's becoming very very fluent with it and comfortable, then they may want to pass it on to some kids. I don't know.
Now we have a question from Joe in Wilmington, North Carolina, and he's asking about, he says he's used himself in many teaching casting lessons and clinics of all ages, the Royal Wolf Flyo, which is that little rod, 3-foot rod with a fluorescent yarn on it for casting practice. And he was wondering whether you tried using that or have used that or experienced that.
Well, I'm very familiar with that because Mel used it too. It's a wonderful toy for some kids, but it really is a very good casting tool. For example, for indoors.
For adults too, right?
Yeah, you can use it in almost any room, and if the weather is bad and you can't go outside to practice your cast, you certainly can do it, and it has a very good action, and you get the feel of what a cast is or should be with a flyo or whatever. The same principle that Mel used, and I think Tim Rajeff uses it too. It's a good tool. For some kids, it may just be a toy, but in some ways, there may not be that much difference between a tool and a toy.
Right, right. And the transition can happen, I suppose.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly.
Now, are those, I've never had one of those in my hand. I've seen them, but are they actually, it's not just a stick, is it? Does it actually flex a little bit?
Or? Yes, it does. It does have an action.
Okay.
That's why it's a good thing to use, well, I would say indoors.
Right. Okay, good. Good. So we've got that equipment down, and let's talk about casting. And in your DVD, that's really where you began, was in casting. So I assume you know that's a good place to start. Do you teach them, you know, like in a classroom first, or you go off the water, on the water? How do you get them started in casting?
Well, for the cast itself, the best place is outdoors and not on the water, on a grass, lawn, something. And you start by explaining the position of the arm, the position. Well, you start with explaining the position of the body and how you have your feet, and then you raise your arm and you explain what a casting is without a rod. As soon as they have the rod, they will forget everything you've just told them. But still, the idea is so that they understand what the motion should be, how far you go forward, how far you go backward. And then when you see that they're kind of doing what you want them to do, then you put the rod in their hand, and then everything goes to pieces. But it's okay, because little by little you get them back to doing the right motion at the right rhythm. That's very important in casting, the rhythm. So not indoors and not on the water, on the grass, on the lawn.
So you get them moving their arm, trying to create some kind of muscle memory, I suppose, of
exactly
where it should be, and then add the rod in there and get the movement going some more,
mm-hmm.
and readjust them to the right position after they forgot everything.
Yeah. And you want to make sure that you don't have a fly at the end of the leader.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. Now, at this point, do you even have any line in the rod, or are you just...
You know, you have your line. Actually, when I start the kids casting with the rod, I don't even put the reel on. It's just the rod. I want them to feel the rod.
Okay.
I want them to feel how the rod moves and what it is that you do to make that rod go in the right way, at the right rhythm. Then you put the reel on and the line. And at the end of the line, you have the leader. At the end of the leader, you put a little piece of yarn so that you don't have to take them to the hospital when they're through.
Or take you to the hospital.
Or take me, right.
Yeah, somebody's going to get hooked. Yeah. So, then they have something to look at when they're casting and know know where their fly is, basically. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, good. So you basically rig it out everything but the hook once they put the line on. Now, are there other tools or toys or things that you use to help them with their training and as far as casting?
There exist tools and toys and ways. And some of the instructors use them, like tying your wrist to your rod so that you don't break your wrist when you're casting. Or there are different things that exist. Mel never used that method, and neither do I. I think the muscle memory that you mentioned before is the most important way to teach yourself to cast or to teach somebody else to cast.
Okay. Now, but you did, I noticed in your DVD you had like target hoops or balloons and, you were having fun with those.
That was specifically for making fun, for having fun. The best time the kids had was before they even took the rod was to take the paintbrush. And Tim was great about that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And flick the water to yourself or to whoever's instructing you or to your friends so that you're learning the motion that somewhat, I don't know if the word flick is right, but that kind of a motion to cast your rod is the same motion as taking the paintbrush and flipping the water to somebody.
Right, yeah. And just to clarify for the folks, what they were doing is standing in the stream and dipping the paintbrush in the water and then doing the start and stop so that the water would fly out of the brush and hit the other person.
Exactly.
So they had some fun with it and definitely got the start-stop motion going.
Exactly, because that's the first thing we teach, that you stop the rod in the front and stop the rod in the back, which is what makes your line go.
Yeah.
And the hoops were for teaching them some accuracy, to learn to cast where you want your fly or your piece of yarn to land.
Sure. And the hoops are, of course, great tools for us as adults as well. I know I take hoops out in the field and just to practice my casting and accuracy.
Exactly. Exactly. That's what we have at the Golden Gate Casting Club.
Yeah, yeah. So those hoops come in handy for all ages, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting a lot of background noise, Andy.
I don't know where that's from.
Okay, let me check. Maybe somebody is on the line here.
Yeah, it sounds like somebody is on.
Yeah, somebody. We're going to mute them out. Okay. Should stop now. Okay. Good. Okay. Question about teaching, teaching casting. The back-forth motion and then getting a good tailing loop, which, that's a problem for a lot of adults, too.
Okay, well, first thing we have to determine right off the bat is if there isn't such a thing as a good tailing loop. A tailing loop is not good. Tailing loop is bad.
Right.
So there isn't such a thing as a good tailing loop.
There you go.
We might want to say a good loop.
Right, a good loop.
So
tailing loop is bad. Yeah.
What's a tailing loop? Well, the tailing loop is a loop that's closed and that causes the line to tangle. It comes back and tangles. So what we want to do is to try to... You're going into a little more of a concept, a more involved concept that you would apply to teaching a kid. But anyway.
Well, would you? I guess the question is, would you even go there about teaching them about a loop?
I wouldn't.
Okay.
But once they start learning and doing the proper casting. If you see that they're doing the tearing loop, then you have to address that because it has to be corrected. Even though probably 90% of adults who have been fly fishing all their lives still occasionally will have a tailing loop.
Right.
I probably do too.
Right.
So the thing is that you have to open up the loop. So you have to go back to the basics of your casting position and the stop. And what is very important is as you wait in the front, you must wait in the back. How do you get people to do that, children to do that? I'm sure there's different methods. Mine is very simple. I when they are casting and they come to the back, I say, wait, now, go. And they have to wait. I mean, because, again, what's very important in casting is the rhythm. Once you get that rhythm, then you have it for life.
Right.
I'm not sure I'm answering the question about the tailing loop. I think that...
But I think you answered the next question with Bill in Utah, which was about how do you slow people down.
And it's only way I know is just to say, stop, hold it, and then go. But there is one way. Is when you first learn to roll cast, if you, by the time you are ready to roll cast, you are learning the good timing, and that will apply then to your going back and forth.
We need to take another quick break, but when we come back, we'll talk with Fanny Krieger more about teaching our young people to fish. Women's fly fishing in Alaska is owned and operated by well-known female guide Pudge Kleinkopf. Women's fly fishing offers several lodge-based fly fishing schools for women, as well as an array of small group guided trips for women and couples to some of Alaska's best-known waters for salmon, rainbow trout, arctic grayling, and char. Pudge also leads saltwater trips to Mexico each spring. And beginners are welcome and equipment is provided. So to learn more about fly fishing for women, visit www.womensflyfishing.net. That's www.womensflyfishing.net or call Pudge at 907-274-7113. That's 907-274-7113. For you listening to Ask About Fly Fishing Internet Radio, we're talking with Fanny Krieger about tomorrow's fly fishers. If you'd like to ask Fanny a question, just go to our homepage at askaboutflyfishing.com and use the Q&A text box to send us your question. We'll receive your question immediately, and we'll try to answer as many of them as possible on the show tonight. Okay, a couple other questions about casting. With working with the kids, what was some of the more challenging things that you ran into about teaching them how to cast?
Well, one of the most challenging for me and for the other instructors was when they were getting bored and tired.
Uh-huh.
And kids will have just so much attention. And then, depending on their age, of course, and or their interest, they'll get bored. They're tired. It's hot. We're not on the river. We're not catching fish. So they lose interest. My recommendation is have them put the rod down, go jump in the river, go swim, go have some ice cream, chase butterflies, do something else until they can come back and say, okay, I'm ready. That was one of the most challenging aspects of teaching.
They just don't have the attention span and the patience that adults have.
Yeah. And even adults, I think even with adults that just start to learn, you can't push that much. You can't give them that much instruction in a short amount of time.
Right.
They lose it. They may not show that they've lost it, but 2 days later they'll come back and say, what about this? And you'll say, but I told you about it. Oh, I guess I wasn't listening. They turn off. So you have to gauge your the capacity for taking all that information. There's so much information about fly fishing.
Right. Yeah, I know from my I've done a lot of training in corporate America to adults, not children, but one of the things that I learned early on through kind of an advanced training seminar that I went to. And their study showed that if, number one, you want to keep training sessions to a maximum of 50 minutes total before you take at least a 10-minute break, because people just, that's about their threshold. And the other thing was to break those 50 minutes into like three segments so that people remember the start and the end of things more so than what's in the middle. So the more starts and ends you have, the more we will remember. And I always keep that in mind when I'm training. And so, like you say, breaking it up into different segments is going to help people to retain more in the long term.
Mm-hmm.
So I understand totally what you're saying. Well, let's talk about bugs. We all like bugs. And kids love bugs, don't they?
All the kids love bugs. Absolutely.
So you actually start teaching them about entomology in a basic stage, right?
Yeah.
Tell us how you did that.
The big thing was taking them to the river, get them into the water, get them to reach down, take a rock, turn it, and look for a bug. We had a little white frisbee that we filled up with water, and then we took the little bugs that were attached to the rocks and put them in the frisbee so that Rachel could help them identify these bugs. Then we took the bugs and opened the fly box and showed which flies looked like this bug or that bug or this bug. And that was very effective. The kids really liked the digging for the bugs and also the ones on the grass. They collected, especially the little one. He had a little jar and collected a bunch of bugs that were on the grass. And then trying to identify the flies that imitates these bugs was a lot of fun for them. So that's how we start entomology.
So no books,
no
pre-studied. It was hands-on. Get them involved.
Yeah, yeah. And the messier, the dirtier, the deeper they could dig into the water, the more they liked it.
And you had about half and half girls, half boys, didn't you?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So
and the girls did it as well as the boys.
They did.
When it comes to getting wet and down and dirty.
Well, I tell you, I've met a lot of biologists, and a lot of them are women. So
yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think they like digging in the muck. And looking for bugs. But and so you matched them up with the flies so that later on then they knew what they were doing. You kind of connected the dots for them, so to speak.
Yeah. And so then they couldn't wait to tie a fly. That was very interesting how they wanted to tie flies so that they could say they imitated that bug or that bug.
Now, and when, you know, I know you have the sequencing on your DVD, but when you were actually teaching the kids, did you have them tie before they went out on the river? Was it the same sequence?
It's about the same sequence, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So,
because it's when they're going to use the flies, and they know that because they've seen on the water a certain bug, so they're going to be using a certain fly that imitates that bug. Then they want to know how to tie it. It just follows.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, kids always seem to like the arts and craft things, which that's very much like. You got feathers and fur. And
And especially because, like I was saying before, tying flies is such a creative process. And some kids are really turned on to that. As a matter of fact, we often have kids who say, can I invent a fly? Can I make up a fly? I said, sure, go ahead.
So how there again, okay, so the older ones I'm sure caught on a lot quicker, but what about the younger ones? Did they take to that too?
Oh, yeah. Even my 7-year-old grandson, he really liked to tie the fly. And as a matter of fact, he even tied a very special fly just for me.
Want to put that one in your hat, huh?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Now, what did you? Were there any particular flies you taught them to tie first that were easy for them? Or?
Well, one of the easiest fly is to tie is a bunny. It's very, very easy. I mean, Mel was able to teach that to me, so I know it's easy. But I think we started them with a willy bugger, and I don't remember, probably some nymph. We wanted to show the difference between the dry fly and the nymph. And they like that. They like to know that they could catch a fish on the surface or under the surface.
So I suppose it's wise to try to teach them some kind of pattern that they can then later use on the river, and hopefully you can really connect the dots. And
exactly. And there's probably no better joy than tying your own fly and then using it to catch a fish. And catching a fish.
Right, even for us adults.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I remember that thrill on the first flies that I tied, and then other people up at the lake would say, well, what did you catch that on? Well, we tied it. I still remember that fly. It was a mosquito pattern.
Ah, yeah, very good. It's very good everywhere.
Yeah, so, I still remember that. It's funny, all these years.
Yeah, that's the thing that all the kids will remember.
Sure. And what were, again, some of the important things to keep in mind when teaching them how to tie flies? Is there some things you ran into there, again, that you should keep in mind?
Well, my feeling is to let them be creative. You teach them some basic, and then you say, okay, what would you do if you were tying this fly? And let them be. Enjoy the creative pursuit there, because it doesn't have to be one way or the other. And again, the big thing is encouragement. You have to keep saying, "You're doing great. This is beautiful. This is very good. You're going to catch lots of fish with that." You got to keep encouraging.
And perfection is not important, right?
Exactly.
We have to be careful.
If you're going to go for perfection, I'm not sure you should be teaching.
Right, exactly. It's
really very important to be very flexible and very attentive to the need of each kid. Children are just like adults. We all are different. We learn at different pace. We produce differently. And that has to be recognized, allowed, and encouraged.
Well, it's time to take another quick break, Fanny.
Okay.
So hang tight with me, and I'll be right back, and we'll finish up here with actually teaching them the fishing part.
Okay.
So be right back.
Okay.
Have you ever dreamed about the classic actions of bamboo fly rods? Did you know that it's possible for you to make your own bamboo fly rods? With the help of Power Fibers Online Magazine, you can do just that. Power Fibers is a magazine dedicated to making bamboo fly rods and telling the stories about bamboo through the ages. From rod-making techniques to stories about fishing bamboo rods to rod-maker profiles to classic tapers, Power Fibers has it all. Visit the website at www.powerfibers.com. That's www.powerfibers.com. You're listening to Ask About Fly Fishing Internet Radio. We're talking with Fanny Krieger about tomorrow's fly fishers. If you'd like to ask Fanny questions, go to our homepage at askaboutflyfishing.com and use the Q&A text box to send us your question. Receive your question immediately, and we'll try to answer as many of them as possible on the show tonight. Okay, we've got them. They've tied their flies. They've practiced casting. They've dug for bugs. Now we're down to catching some fish.
Right.
So one of the things that you did do in your DVD is it looked like you were teaching them about how fish feed and so forth. You want to tell us about how you did that?
Yes. Well, it was Lorianne Murphy who did that, and she did a very good job. That whole section was done in Montana on a small creek, and it had all the right values of where you should expect to find fish.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, one of the easiest is when you come to the river and the fish are feeding. In other words, they are rising to take the bugs that are floating down. Then you can see them. You can see the fish either sipping the bug under the water, slightly under the water, but they're still making a ring there, or practically jumping out of the water to catch the bugs that are floating down. And we explained to the kids that's usually you fish for those fish that are feeding underwater with a dry fly that imitates the bugs coming down. And where would you find these fish? Well, they're where there's a foam line, or on either side of a current, or behind a big rock, boulder, or something like that. Now, if the fish are not feeding on the water, that's a little more difficult. Unless the kids have polaroid glasses and can see through the water where the fish are, they can see if the fish are moving or not, which means if they're feeding or not. So you would just then what is called blind fishing, where you cast a nymph or a wet fly that goes under the water or just under the surface. You would cast it where you think most likely the fish are. And that's fishing with a nymph under the water.
It sounds like, and from seeing the DVD, that as an adult, as a teacher, you should pick a piece of water that's manageable to them visually,
yeah,
so that they can see these different lies and not a huge river where it looks like the ocean to them,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah. And certainly not a lake.
Pardon?
A lake is certainly not a lake. Lake is a totally different kind of fishing.
Mm-hmm. Well, we always hear, though, that maybe a lake is a place to go after, like, say, bluegills or something.
Yeah,
where
right.
You catch something quickly
right.
And easily without
yeah.
a lot of struggle.
Well, I was visualizing that kind of fishing more in something that I would call a pond, but I suppose
a pond. Lake. Okay, yeah. Yeah,
I think of a lake as a very, very large body of water,
right?
Which is not necessarily where you might take a kid, but a pond where you can cast from the shore and catch bluegills or brim or something like that. Then, yeah.
Yeah, because I think if at all possible to get them to get something on the line is pretty important.
Well, you know.
Or is it not?
This is how you're going to get kids, young people, excited about fishing, is to get them to catch a fish. So the very important thing is to first take them somewhere where there's a small stuck pond or a stream that has lots of fish, where you know they're going to catch a fish. Then they're going to be excited, and they'll pursue it.
Graduate up from there, yeah. Because I remember some of the first fishing experiences for my kids were bluegills up in Wisconsin off a dock, and they would literally bite on just a gold hook.
Right, right.
And so
that's how you get excited.
Yeah, oh yeah, they loved it because they were actually catching something, and it wasn't too hard to do, and so create a lot of excitement. Yeah. Assuming we can get a fish on for them, and you know, you've taught them about reading water, and then of course the presentation. Is there anything that we can all get caught up in, like waiting and waiting the fly and the line and so forth? Did you get involved in that, or did you try to pick a piece of water that would be that they could fish without all the?
We did get into the waiting. And one of the things that you have to remember when you're taking a newbie to wade is to talk a little bit about wading safety. There are some things that you must know, not to wade above your knee, for example, to wade maybe with a partner, to wear a belt over your waders, if you're wearing waders. So wading safety is very important when you teach someone to wade. But you almost have to learn to wade if you're going to go fly fishing, because that not all places can you fish from the shore.
Mm-hmm. So later on, you had them wet wading and some of them you had in waders.
Yeah. Well, the wet wading was kind of when they got too hot and a little bored and a little slippery, on rocks. We said, okay, take your waders off. Now you can just, and they love that. Kids will love that.
Yeah. So, again, what were some of the more challenging things about actually teaching them fishing part that you ran into?
Well, I would say that the teacher has to have a lot of patience. In addition to the encouragement, you have to be very patient and let the kids or the children or the young adults, whoever it is that's learning, learn at their own pace. Not everybody's going to learn as fast as somebody else. And you may be saying 10 times something, and then you have to say it the 11th time or the 12th time. And you've got to be patient about it. You cannot get mad because somebody's not doing the right thing and is not understanding what you mean. That's why sometimes it's not a good idea for a wife to learn from her husband, or maybe even a son from his father, who might say, I just told you that. Why can't you understand what I'm saying?
Right.
Well, that person is not understanding and needs more time.
Right.
So patience is a big challenge.
Yeah, for the teacher and the student, I suppose, too. And I assume, the frustration and boredom that they may have with trying to catch a fish, that, again, you deal with that like you did earlier?
Yeah,
teaching
exactly. Exactly. You get bored, you get tired, you're not catching any fish. It's not your fault. Just start thinking of something else or get out of the water, go do something else, and then come back.
Go eat your lunch, have a sandwich.
Exactly.
Talk. Yeah. So, you know, and kind of trying to tie this thing up here at the end of the night, what do you think we as adults can do to get more children interested in fly fishing? Is it can we do anything through the clubs? Is it the one-on-one thing? What do you think the best approach to?
Well, I wish I could give you a definite answer. I think we have to try all of these things. I think we have to make a fun outing. A club can make a fun outing just for kids, have enough members to match each kid, and make a fun outing in the sense that you incorporate other things. In my DVD, we incorporated a stop at a cafe for fancy desserts, and that was a tremendous break. They loved that break in the middle of the day. And I think there's a place for clubs, there's a place for big organizations, as long as they can keep the instruction simple, fun, with lots of encouragement, and a mentoring system on a one-to-one basis. So I don't think there's only just one answer to how we can get more kids into fly fishing, but we have to keep trying.
Yeah, because
they are our future.
Right, as one of the things that is nice, I know, because I did a lot of things with my kids in the outdoors, from river rafting to skiing and backpacking, fly fishing. And it's the reward comes later too. You know,
definitely.
Now that they're in their 30s, they call me up and say, "Well, when are we going to do our backpack trip? Or when are we going to go skiing?" Or,
uh-huh.
You know, they get the old man out now and keep
right.
me moving. And so those rewards come later in life sometimes and not so immediate. And
that's right.
You wonder if any of it took at times, but then later on you go, "Wow, it did."
It did. And it's not just about fishing, you know. It's about anything else you expose them in life. At the moment you expose them, whether it's your social values or your whatever it is, and it seems like it's just gone over their head, and then 10 years later, you hear something come out of their mouth, which is exactly what you were hoping for them to get.
Right. Yeah, and one of those things is, of course, a love for nature and a care
uh-huh.
for nature,
mm-hmm.
you know, which is what we all
mm-hmm.
concerned about, too. Well, unfortunately, time to wrap things up here, and Finney, stick with me, because we're going to give away your DVD here in a few minutes.
Very good.
Also, a membership to the Federation of Fly Fishers, which I know you're very heavily involved in,
mm-hmm.
so, and a subscription to Fly Fusion Magazine. So stick with us. We'll be right back, and we're going to do those giveaways and have a little contest here. So. Family Ties, that's T-Y-E-S. Family Ties is an organization which uses a shared interest in fly fishing and fly tying to enhance youth development and family relationships. They utilize resources in schools, communities, and businesses, and they invite your participation. Go to their website, www.familyties.com. That's family and then T-Y-E-S.com. FamilyTYES.com. Family Ties, where every fish is a trophy and every kid is a hero. So just a quick reminder to everyone before you leave the website tonight, please take a minute and give us your feedback about the show. You can find the link on our homepage in the section on tonight's show that says, "What do you think of this show?" Just click on that link, leave your comments, and we'd really appreciate it. Well, now it's time to give away a few things, and we always have our Federation of Fly Fishing membership to give away, and that's a one-year membership, and if you are the winner of any of these, the Federation or the Fly Fusion magazine, we'll contact you by email and tell you what you need to do to collect on that. And let's see here. The Federation membership goes to Mike Bay in Missouri. So Mike Bay in Missouri, congratulations. Got yourself a one-year membership to the Federation of Fly Fishers. And if you already have one, we'll get that one extended for you. And then the one-year subscription to Fly Fusion magazine. Oh, by the way, to learn more about the Federation, go to fedflyfishers.org, fedflyfishers.org. You'll learn about all kinds of things in the conclaves that Fanny was talking about tonight, as well as, you know, which always offer many training opportunities as well. And a great place to take kids to get more involved. So the winner of the subscription to Fly Fusion magazine, which you can find more about at www.flyfusionmag.com, flyfusionmag.com. The winner for that is Stephen Bodenstab in Illinois. And let me just jot that down. Stephen Bodenstab, I suppose it is, in Illinois. So congratulations, Stephen, and I know you'll enjoy that magazine. It's an excellent magazine, and you'll learn a lot from it. So enjoy. Congratulations. Okay, now time to give away Fanny's DVD, and what we need to do here is I'm going to ask a question, and the first person to answer correctly will win the DVD. Now, the way that you answer this is on our homepage on the website. There's that text box there that you've been using to ask questions. Just fill in your answer there, put in your name, your location, and we will, the first person to answer the question correctly will win Danny's DVD, which is Tomorrow's Fly Fisher. It's a great DVD to have to teach children and adults how to teach children. So a great tool to have around. Now, okay, this is a different kind of question because this is a different kind of interview we've done tonight. But Fanny used two words repeatedly throughout the evening, two of the most important words I think she would probably agree on, too. What two words did she use? She said that one needed to do something again and again and again, and one needed to have something. What are those two words? What do you think, Fanny? Is that a...
You got me stumped. The only thing I can think of is Fly Fisher, which I use in two words.
No.
That's not it.
We got to see if how sharp they are. And I'll even give you a hint. The hint is that the one word starts with an E and the other word starts with a P. We'll see here. Maybe I made it too hard. Oh, close. Lee Loomis says repetition and patience. The second word was correct. The first word was not, because it starts with an E.
With an E?
Yeah.
Let's see if
Lee can get it again. You can welcome to submit it again, Lee, if you're since nobody else has submitted. Nobody else submits, we'll give it to Lee, but here we go. I think this is the answer I was looking for. Joyce in Golden, Colorado says, encourage and patience.
Right.
She got it, because you kept saying, you've got to encourage them. You've got to keep encouraging them. You've got to encourage them.
Very good.
Everybody needs to have a little patience. So Joyce in Golden, Colorado, you won Fanny's DVD. So congratulations.
And, congratulations.
You sent me your email address, so I will email you and get the information I need from you so that Fanny can send you that DVD. And I know you'll enjoy it. Hopefully you'll have some young people to share it with, and that's the whole idea. So, well, Fanny, thank you so much for being on the call tonight and letting me interview you. It was a pleasure to talk with you, and I surely enjoyed it.
Thank you. I enjoyed it, too.
Well, good. Well, our next broadcast will be on November 2nd, and that will be at 7 p.m. Mountain Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. And on that show, we're going to interview Jeff Currier, and our topic for the show will be peacock bass and other Brazilian treasures. Jeff Currier has been at it again, exploring exotic parts of the world in search of fly fishing treasures. Join us as Jeff talks about his travels to Brazil, Venezuela, and Panama in search of peacock bass, piranha, arowanas, jacundas, and monster catfish. Well, we'd like to thank Federation of Fly Fishers, Fly Fusion Magazine, and our other advertisers tonight for sponsoring our show. Your company would benefit from sponsoring one of our shows. Give us a call at 1-800-985-1673, extension 8. That's 1-800-985-1673, Extension 8, we'll be happy to explain the options to you. Don't forget to visit our website at askaboutflyfishing.com and make sure you're signed up to receive our announcements so you don't miss out on any of our future broadcasts. Thanks for listening to Ask About Fly Fishing Internet Radio. We hope you enjoyed the show. That's it. Good night, everyone, and good fishing.